CBS Mornings as we begin a new week together. I'm Gayle Kaye.
I'm Tony DeCoppola.
Yes, I'm Nate.
Ahead on today's CBS Mornings on the Go, we've got Dominique Fishback from Transformers Rise of the Beasts. She tells us why this role is so special to her and talks about her new project she has with Jamie Foxx. Also, high drama at the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka may have won the tournament, but it was Michael Block who stole the show. He joins us to talk about his fairy tale weekend, including a hole in one. And actor Sean Hayes is here to discuss his Tony-nominated role in Goodnight Oscar and what it was like to be back on Broadway in a role written just for him. All that and more after these messages.
Hey, hey, Prime members, talking to you. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the Go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
In our series, Rebuilding America, we show how people and communities are working together to build a better world. This morning, we're focusing on communities fighting food waste. Why? Because around one-third of food in the U.S. is never eaten. Most ends up in landfills where it generates the potent greenhouse gas, methane. But cities across the country are now turning to compost programs to put that waste to work for the environment. Lily Luciano met up with one convert on a mission to make composting cool, even in unexpected places, starting with the communities that raised him. That's good.
Growing up in New York City's public housing, Domingo Morales was more focused on his personal sustainability than that of the environment.
I was in and out of foster care. It was just about, you know, making money, how to get the next job.
But his perspective turned around when he took a job composting on a community farm in Brooklyn.
We went three times a week to shovel, to shovel, to shovel. And then a couple months after, we were sifting finished compost and they allowed us to apply finished compost to the farm. And I'm like, whoa, you can recycle food waste.
That aha moment for Morales prompted him to get his hands dirty and gain a better understanding of the art of composting.
That's good.
The nutrient-rich combination of food scraps and yard waste is like a meal for garden soil, which then feeds and nourishes plants. It also reduces methane emissions by keeping food out of landfills.
So you were kind of moving dirt, not sure what you were doing, and suddenly you were able to see the connection from that pile to here, to the farm.
It just made sense to me. It clicked. It's like recycling plastic, I still don't get it. Recycling metal, I still don't get it. I know what happens with compost.
Morales teamed up with the nonprofit Green City Force and the New York City Housing Authority to form Compost Power, an initiative building up composting efforts in public housing communities.
Once a week, we'll come and we'll actually aerate this pile.
His human-powered system requires several people to turn piles of waste in three different stages of decomposition. It is physical work, but you won't hear any complaints from his team.
It was basically like a workout session for me.
I'm trying to show that small-scale composting can change behavior, but on top of that, I'm trying to show that it's possible in the communities that historically people said it wasn't.
Compost Power isn't alone in its mission. New York City has earmarked $2.7 million to roll out compost collection bins throughout the borough of Queens.
I love that I don't have to buy a lot of trash bags anymore.
So residents like Jasmine McPherson can put food and yard waste out with their trash and recycling.
Once you start properly throwing away your waste, you'll see a reduction in how much money you consciously spend because you're seeing what you're throwing away, what you're not eating.
Back in Brooklyn, Morales is busy feeding a balanced diet to his miniature special agents, fungi, bacteria, and insects, which he calls the FBI. It's one part nitrogen-packed greens from food scraps and three parts carbon-heavy materials.
So we got wood chips here.
The whole process takes up to 6 weeks.
Assistant table is basically where you finalize the compost.
And the finished compost then feeds the vibrant farm in the heart of this community.
Compost is a big, important part for what we do. We need them more than they need us.
What grows there is free for residents.
At one farm stand, we had cucumbers that were longer than 12 inches, oversized red radishes, the eggplants, they were gigantic.
And they bring their food scraps in exchange, which along with the farm waste, replenishes the compost pile.
If we can show that in a large community like this, we can make it a culture, no one has an excuse.
He says if you can compost here, you can compost anywhere. For CBS Mornings, Lilia Luciano, New York.
10-year-old Takari Tatum is on a mission. Did you hear that? A mission to help kids learn about mental health and cope with tough times. In America, nearly 8 million young people experience mental health disorders, and 1 in 5 say the pandemic had a significant negative impact on their lives. So Takari wrote a book. It's called Snap It, based on his own experience with loss and mental health struggles during this pandemic. He's also founder of the Rubber Band Mentality and is the youngest person to win the National Alliance on Mental Illness Young Leader Award in Georgia. Takari, we welcome you to CBS Mornings, your favorite morning show. So let's talk about what happened to you. You lost your grandfather and your aunt during the pandemic. Let's focus on your grandfather in particular because you described him as your best friend. How did his death affect you?
My grandfather's death affected me in very negative ways. Mm-hmm. At school, I just didn't feel it. I was not my usual energetic self. And even at home, I would just slouch in bed and cry. And I wasn't feeling energetic or full.
Yeah, and you got into a couple fights where people started teasing you about crying and being sad.
Yes.
And then you didn't like the way you were behaving. And so you thought what?
I thought I needed to get back into my how I standed and how I was usual.
Right.
I had to get back into that mentality. Mm. So I created Snap It bracelets. Uh-huh. Anytime you feel stressed or anxious, you snap it to remind yourself to stay cool, calm, and collective, and to breathe.
Mm. Cool, calm, and collective.
I like that
and
there.
Breathe. I like that too. But what did you want kids to know?
I wanted kids to know that they're not alone.
Alone in what?
In their darkest times and when maybe even a family member dies, their parents are divorcing, that's always going on every second of every day. Mm-hmm.
So what advice do you give to kids who might not feel like they have a safe space to talk, whether it's at home or at school? Sometimes kids hold things in. Sometimes adults hold things in. We do it as well. What advice do you give them?
Some advice that I give them is that just keep going and keep moving on with your life and make sure that you know that it's always going to get better and that it's not always going to be like that.
It is always going to get better, yeah.
You're only 10 years old. You're an advocate. You're an author. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Ooh, good question.
When I grow up, I want to be a meteorologist. And as you might know, my book was the foreword of the book was also written by the head meteorologist of 11 Alive, Chesley McNeil. And he wrote the foreword. Mm. And I actually went over to his headquarters at 11 Alive. And I saw how he works and how he does all of his meteorologist things.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So I see.
Go ahead.
Well, I see you've got the one rubber band on this wrist that you snap for yourself, and you've got three on the other. What's the significance of the other ones?
The significance of the other ones were for you.
What? Oh, Tony, you knew what you were doing there.
I was going in that direction.
No, okay.
But I like what you said when you said it made me sad talking about your grandfather. I would go to school brokenhearted and come home heartbroken.
Mm.
What are you saying there, Takari, with those words?
I was saying that even seeing other people even brought me down more because I knew that a lot of people were going through the same thing that I was going through in the same time. Mm-hmm. And even during COVID, we had to do virtual learning, mm-hmm. and that took a toll on a lot of other people because they were just slouching on their camera, crying even, or sometimes not even having their camera on.
So how does snapping it help?
It's scientifically proven that feeling the sting of the rubber band against your skin, it may seem counteractive, but it actually helps with your mental illness and helps you take a breath and look back on what's going on in your life.
Kind of snap back into reality.
Yeah. Yes. Take a breath and focus.
I like that.
I like that.
I like that you brought three friends. See, in addition to being an author, he's also very considerate and thoughtful in giving. We like that. Congratulations to you. Congratulations. Good job.
Yeah, really thank you very much.
His book,
Can I have mine, please?
Yeah, get mine too, Tony.
His book, Snap It, is on sale now wherever you like to buy your books.
Koepka conquers the PGA. It'll kill.
Brooks Koepka, the Masters runner-up, did even better than that at the PGA Championship yesterday, taking home the fifth major title of his career. Koepka is also the first golfer on the Saudi-backed breakaway tour to win a major. However, his victory may not be the biggest story of the tournament. Jim Axelrod has the story of Michael Block, a 46-year-old golf instructor from Southern California. His fairy tale performance lifted him above most of the big names on the leaderboard.
It had to be the shot of the PGA Championship as Michael Block holed his 7-iron for an ace on the 15th hole. Back in California, members of the club where Block is the head pro went nuts when he dunked it. On the golf course, Oak Hill, in Rochester, New York, Block was in such disbelief, he had to ask his playing partner, world number three Rory McIlroy, for confirmation.
No way. Rory, did it go in?
Block, not a regular member of the PGA Tour, but one of 20 club pros who qualified for this championship, capped the tournament with this dramatic putt for par.
Get there, yes!
Which earned him raucous cheers from the crowd at the 18th hole. A hug from tournament winner Brooks Koepka. And a 15th place finish overall. The best for a club pro in 37 years. Qualifying him for next year's PGA Championship.
It's amazing. I'm living a dream. I'm making sure that I enjoy this moment. I've learned that after my 46 years of life, that it's not going to get better than this. There's no way.
But it did get better, as Block later learned in a phone call that he'd also been invited to the next PGA Tour event, this week's Charles Schwab Challenge.
If you could talk to my boss real quick and tell him that I won't be at work next week. Is that okay, Matt?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, good. I'm good.
How about that? What a story.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Everybody wants you to take off. Can you imagine how many people want to now take a lesson from him?
Well,
what a great story when you go, I'm living a dream.
I love it.
And it comes true.
And we'll have a little bit more on that and what to watch. We will actually talk to Michael Block about his magical weekend, so stick around for that first on CBS Mornings.
More from this episode of CBS Mornings after this short break.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings. It's time to bring you some of the stories that are the talk of the table this morning. Yo, you don't have to get on your feet, but I need you to make it happen.
I know. I'm still doing those seventh grade moves that you love so much. Not. My talk of the table is a Southern California firefighter. I'm very excited about this story. It's a video showing him jumping into action after his one-year-old son who cannot swim got into the pool. So he posted the video not to make himself look like a hero, but because he wanted everyone to realize just how easily and how quickly and how quietly that's the thing a child can drown. And that's why I wanted to do this, too. So take a look. You can see little Cole. He's playing near the pool. He's even got on his flotation devices. He takes them off. He starts walking. Then he sits on the edge and then he goes in. But look at this. Cole's dad, Zachary Pettit, Petit, swoops right in, grabs Cole and gets him out. Now, Petit says he had just turned his back for just 1 second. And that is how quickly it happens. Number one, they did all the proper things. The pool has a gate around it. He had on his proper flotation device. But I just wanted parents to know, as we get into the summer season, people's pools are opening up.
Yeah.
These little kids, even when you're watching them.
Yeah.
Luckily, dad was right there and he rushed right in as soon as he saw his son go in. Favorite daughter Kirby and my son-in-law Luca, who's now 19 months, got an Airbnb and had a pool, and I was a nervous wreck the whole time. Are you watching? Yes, Mom, we're watching. But it happened so quickly.
It happened so quickly. We had a thing with Teddy where all the adults and Teddy were in the shallow end of the pool. We're all chatting and everything. Put him up onto the side. He decides to just scamper to the deep end and dive in, like do a header because he saw someone else jump
of
in.
Of course.
You're like, oh my gosh, and you're swimming down there.
They're curious and they don't know any better.
And they think they see everyone else doing it and all they want to do is be a big kid.
And they're fearless.
Yeah, and they're fearless. But.
So as we get into the summer season, bravo to Zachary Petit, who was on the case immediately. Yep. Cole never stood a chance of drowning.
Right.
Because as you see, dad was right there.
Of course.
So bravo.
And he is a hero. I know he didn't post it to be called a hero, but he is. Saved his son's life. All right, so my talk of the table is the race to the NBA Finals. Ooh. Two of the league's best known teams are in big trouble this morning. The Boston Celtics, they are down 3-0 after losing to Miami Heat last night. Gabe Vincent was balling. My guy had 29 points, including 6 3-pointers. The Heat can sweep the Celtics and win the Eastern Conference title tomorrow night in Miami. In the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets are also one win away from a four-game sweep.
What is happening?
The Nuggets defeated LeBron James and the Lakers in L.A. Saturday. Now, in its 47 years in the league, Denver has never been this close to the NBA Finals. Game 4 is tonight. The Lakers need this one if they want to stay alive, so we shall see. But right now, it's looking like the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets.
Because it's very hard to come back. Very.
It's never been done, Gail.
You told me.
Never been down 3 games.
Yeah.
Came back and went in the playoffs in NBA history.
I'm good with that matchup. Works for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Nate? It goes back to what you said. Whoever won the first game.
It's just momentum right out the gate.
Denver won the first game.
That's right.
Okay. We'll be watching.
All right. For folks at home who are on their way to work today, I've got some fodder for those summer vacation daydreams.
What do you
got? One of the oldest and most credible lists of top 10 beaches in America. The new list is out. We will start at number 10. I think we got the whole list for you. Now, half of the beaches posted here are in Hawaii and Florida, but there are 5 beaches in the top 10 not in those 2 states. Oh, we gave away number 1. You got to go from 10 to 1. Come on. That's basic television there. All right. So there you go. Number 1 is St. George Island State Park in Florida. Okay.
We do things differently.
We do it differently around here. But I also wanted to shout out Cooper's Beach in New York, Southampton.
Oh, in the Hampton.
Lighthouse Beach in Buxton, North Carolina.
Yeah.
We've got a beach in South Carolina, Beach Walker Park. In South Carolina, Coast Guard Beach in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, where I've been. That's a lovely one.
Yeah.
I think those are the 5. Yeah.
Well, Memorial Day is coming up. A lot of people starting to think about the beach, so it's good.
The guy who puts it together, his nickname is Dr. Beach, Stephen Leatherman. He's a professor at Florida International University. Back in the 90s, Oprah put him on her show for a guy having one of the best jobs in America.
Yeah.
This
sure
is his work
product.
He
said he's been to over 600 beaches in the country, so he knows a thing or two about what
about
he's talking
that? There's nothing
no
like
Great Lakes beaches, I got to say. I'm a little bit disappointed on behalf of my friends in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent some time out there, so I feel you on that. There's nothing like a good beach.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like a good movie. Our next guest is no stranger to the screen. Dominique Fishback has acted in several hit TV shows and films, including The Deuce, Judas and the Black Messiah, Project Power, and Show Me a Hero. Now she stars in the newest Transformers film called Transformers: Rise of the Beasts. She plays Elena, an archaeologist intern. In this clip, she and Noah, played by actor Anthony Ramos, meet the Transformer Beasts for the first time. Check it out.
Who are you? why are you hunting for the king?
Yo, Donkey Kong, stay away from my friends!
Mirage!
Don't worry, your boy's got this. Stranger danger! Stranger danger!
Hey, 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 hey!
Not so fast!
Ay, ay, ay. Hey, over here, kitty, kitty.
Dominique Fishback joins us now. How are you doing?
Well, good morning.
Welcome.
We appreciate you. So growing up, you said that you never believed that you would star in a Transformers movie.
Yeah.
Why is this role so important to you?
Well, I feel like I've always wanted to be an actress, and I would watch TV and say, I want to do something like that. So I saw Transformers and said, but I never imagined that they would have me, that I would be the girl chosen. They didn't have a lot of lead actresses that look like me. They came from where I came from, so it didn't really seem as close.
It didn't seem attainable to you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things did seem obtainable, but I guess specifically Transformers, it was like, it'll be something like that.
Yeah.
And for it to be that.
So you didn't really want to audition?
Originally, no, I was like, unless the chance was really big, because I give a lot, no matter if it's an audition or I get the role,
yeah.
I'm going to give myself to it. And I spoke to Stephen Caple. He said, no, I want the characters to be from Brooklyn. Told me all about Elena. I said, well, if it's from Brooklyn,
tell me Brooklyn in the house.
Yes.
But Nate said it's the best Transformer movie he's seen.
And
he's
down.
Seen them all.
Hands
oh, that's
down.
Awesome. I'm so yeah. glad. Thank you.
And I, you know, once you got the role, you really grabbed it. I was hearing an interview with you when you were talking about how you gave pages and pages of notes on your character and what you think should happen, how it should go down narratively.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
I do that a lot for all of my characters. I usually journal as the characters. And I told Steven, too, I said, you know, if you like the work I've done, just know I come from theater. So talking about character and development and the arc of a story is really important, and it yeah. doesn't change no matter what the genre is or the medium is. And I said, so if you want me, just know. He was like, you can give me your notes at 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, okay. So I did.
Yes.
And then I got to sit with the writers about two or three times just yeah. to talk. And it wasn't about that my ideas had to be in it. It was just the opportunity to talk about it and feel heard.
I love this, Dominique. You go from, I don't know if I should audition because I don't think I can get it, to, here are my notes. Take that, Mr. Director. Can I talk to you about Swarm? It's right now on Amazon.
Yes.
It's a multi-part series. You are a knockout in this role because she plays Cray, Cray, Cray with a capital Cray, Cray, Cray. Tell me about this role for you. What I like about it is we got to see all of the different, we saw many different layers and levels to your talent.
Mm. Well, this one, too, they told me that Donald had a role for
Donald
me.
Glover.
Donald
yes.
Glover had a role for me. And when I got into the meeting, they told me all about the character, about Dre, and then said they wanted me to play Marissa, which is the character that Chloe Bailey ends up playing.
Yeah.
And so I left being like, man, I got to play Dre. So I told my team, they said, you might have to fight for it. And I said, I mean, we've been fighting our whole lives, so this is no different. And when I got on the phone with Donald, he said, well, tell me why. I said, well, after you do something like Judas and the Black Messiah and Transformers, what do you do next? I want to stay on my toes. I don't even want to know what I'm going to do next.
Mm.
When I was younger and wanted to act, it was not based off of a genre. I wanted to do anything that felt good to me and could show versatility.
Well, you certainly do that. I mean, because she plays someone who's obsessed with I'll say, Beyonce-type character mm-hmm. who is a megastar, and then it's off to the races with that. But I'm fascinated by you because at 10, number one, you look like a Disney princess today.
Thank you.
And you said at 10 you wanted to be a Disney star.
Yeah.
What did you want growing up?
I watched it and said, I gotta do that. I want to be like Lucy.
So you like comedy.
I love comedy.
Love Lucy.
And which is why I was excited about Swarm, because I got to bring a lot of physical comedy. Mm. The way she looks around, the way she moves,
yeah.
all of that is like really physical. So it was fun to tap into that.
So when you were in college, you played a one-woman show where you take on 22 different characters. So it's one woman, but it's a lot of characters.
Yes.
And now that show is going to become a one-woman play, right? Produced by Jamie Foxx.
So, yeah, it's a one...
Subverted.
Yes, it's a one-woman show that I wrote as my thesis to graduate from school. And then Jamie Foxx saw it and said he wanted it to be everywhere. So... Now he's EP in it.
That's
we're
going
to do that as a special.
I think that's so well, but I think you are amazing. And I like that you and I have something in common. We were talking backstage, guys, because uh-huh. we're both single and available.
Yes.
Oh.
And
oh.
you said, see? We're not looking for the same okay. age group, I'm happy to say. I don't want anybody I could have.
You sure
given...
do?
Yeah, I don't want anybody I could have.
I mean,
given
that's how Stella got
to.
A groove back.
I don't want anybody I could have given birth to. Dominique, you say you're a big manifesto.
Yes.
Big manifesto. So what are you doing in this particular area of your life?
Oh. In terms of getting my husband.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, in terms of getting your husband. Yes.
I'm reading a book called Calling in a One.
calling in the one.
Which makes you have to identify the ways in which you've contributed to the success or the failures of your past relationship. So it's not about just blaming somebody else. It's identifying your triggers and how you show up to things. Okay. And gives you things to do every
single day. I'm like, and the author of that book is?
Dominique Fishback, thank
cheering
you so much.
You
for
thank you. Thank you so much. Happy to
great
be
to
here.
Have you.
Thank
of course.
Bravo. Thank you.
Transformers Rise of the Beast premieres in theaters June 9th.
All right, we have a special What to Watch today. We've been talking about it all morning long. This is a first on CBS Mornings. We are talking with Michael Block, the club pro from Southern California who gives golf lessons at Arroyo Trabuco Golf Club. That is a public course in Mission Viejo, Orange County. It charges $125 for a 45-minute lesson. Well, let me
tell you. Prices just went up.
Exactly.
That was yesterday's price.
That was yesterday. Yesterday's price because Block stole everyone's attention at the PGA Championship this weekend. Check this out.
At the 15th. The fairy tale story. Gets better.
Fairy tale indeed. That is the moment the 46-year-old made his first career hole in one, the only ace in the competition since 2020. He finished tied for 15th place. That is the best for a club pro in 37 years and good enough to guarantee a spot in next year's PGA. Michael Block, we are so honored you are joining us right now. Good morning. Congratulations,
Give
brother.
Give him a standing ovation.
Yeah. Hey. Hey.
You got
All
it.
All right, Michael.
Thank you so much.
So let me ask you right off the bat. I mean, you got very emotional when you were talking about this big moment. You said it doesn't get any better than this. Tell me what it's like to make history, Michael.
Never thought it would happen to me, to be honest. You know, like you said, I'm just a club professional from a public golf course in Orange County, California, and all of a sudden, within a couple rounds of 70s here at Oak Hill, my life's changed quite a bit, and I'm sitting here with you this morning. So yeah, it's very surreal right now, and I'm trying to enjoy it as much as possible.
Michael, tell us what's going on in the video for non-golfers, because you shoot, it's 151 yards from the pin. The shot is on target, looks like it's going to be close, going to land on the green, and then there's a cutaway, and it doesn't even seem like it hits the pin. It seems like it just goes right in the hole.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it was a 7-iron flight. It is a pretty good wind into us. I was paired with Rory McIlroy, you know, one of my idols. And I was doing okay. I just, you know, I was two over at that point. I was trying to get back to even par. I hit this 7. I couldn't see it go in the hole. And all of a sudden, Rory's walking away, and he turns around, and he has his arms open, and he's going to give me a big hug. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out why he's giving me a hug if I just hit it close. I didn't think it went in the hole, but the crowd was going, you know, nuts. And he comes up and he goes, and Roy's like, it went in the hole. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me right now. I couldn't even believe it. You might have seen it on TV. I couldn't believe it that it actually went in the hole under that moment in time. Yeah, it was very, very cool.
You said the crowd was going nuts. And speaking of going nuts, there's a video that your son recorded of your club losing their mind. Yeah. What was it like to see that type of support? And then your son say, this is the greatest moment of my life.
Yeah. How old is your son, Michael? How old is he?
Yeah. That was Dylan. He just turned 18. He also works. Both my boys work there at the club. They work outside service every Sunday morning. So they went there. I didn't know there was a watch party going on there at O'Neill's. That was pretty darn cool. And when I saw that video last night, it definitely brought tears to my eyes. And I've cried more in the last couple days than I've ever cried in my life. So it's a very meaningful event.
I would cry, too, because, number one, your sons are proud of you. You've got to be proud of yourself. And everybody's cheering for you because what we hear on the streets is you're a really nice guy. Were you nervous yesterday? Clearly, you're good at what you do, but you're playing with some of the best of the best. As you're starting the game, were you even nervous? You'd think, I'm just going to do me.
That was the mantra for the whole week, was just to be myself. I've tried in past events to try to be a tour pro, which I'm not. I was just the club pro, normal guy out there having a good time with my caddy John and all the other pros there and here at Oak Hill were absolutely fantastic to me. And along, you know, obviously the Rochester crowds and here in New York were absolutely behind me 100%. And it was the thrill of my life.
You know, but now you've been invited to continue going on with the PGA. Do you feel pressure? Pressure on yourself?
Yeah, maybe a little. I mean, I'm just going to try to keep doing the same thing. You know, I was lucky enough to get invited this week. Now I'm heading straight to Fort Worth for the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial, which is really, really cool. And I so appreciate the invitation. And then the RBC Canadian Open in June. So what this opportunity from, you know, obviously the PGA of America, which I'm a member of, and, you know, the 29,000 members across the country.
Of course.
And then the 19 other guys that were here with me. And we're a team. And it's called the Corbridge, you know, financial team. And we all came here together, rooting each other on. And I was lucky enough to make the cut.
Big Mike, we appreciate you. Thank you so
much. Congratulations.
Good luck moving forward.
Congrats.
Big Mike.
We're getting right to it because we are very excited to have actor Sean Hayes here with us today. He's joining us as part of our Road to the Tonys coverage, where we count down to Broadway's biggest night. The Tony Awards air June 11th right here on CBS, and Hayes is nominated for Best Actor in a Play for his role in Goodnight Oscar, based on the real life of actor, comedian, and pianist Oscar Levant. He was a household name in the 1950s and struggled with mental health issues and also addiction. The play takes place in 1958, when Levant's wife signed him out of a psychiatric hospital to appear on The Tonight Show with Jack Parr. In this clip, we see Hayes as Levant chatting with Parr during the broadcast.
So bring us up to date, Oscar. What have you been doing with yourself lately?
Well, my behavior has been impeccable. I've been unconscious for the last 6 months.
Really? Flat out on your back?
Yeah. I'm in the middle of a breakdown. It's my fifth in 2 years.
Sorry to hear it.
Well, don't be. That's the thing about schizophrenia.
Yes?
It sure beats dining alone.
Sean Hayes joins us now. Sean, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Might I start out by saying, nothing says morning show like a bowl of succulents.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. This is incredible. I feel like I'm in the desert.
Are you saying we need to do something?
No, no. It looks very real.
I was here thinking. I was thinking, is that a line from the play?
No.
I've seen it. I don't recall.
Is he referencing your intro?
No, no.
I'm just commenting.
He's saying you suck.
Anyway,
I'm commenting on the great song.
I was about to shower you with praise.
No,
congratulations on the Tony.
Thank you.
And we are all
nomination.
Nomination. Yes, nomination. I'm amazed at the transformation that you undergo to play Oscar, and then the transformation back to yourself to appear here today. Tell us about getting into this role, which I know was written for you, and I know it's been in production for decades, right?
Yeah.
In various ways. So, but the transformation, talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of work. It was lots of hours of watching archival footage at the Paley Center in Los Angeles, reading all his books, which he's a phenomenal writer. People don't realize that too, or forget about that. But for me, I was the youngest of five kids, so all I did was observe. And I grew up around a lot of addiction and some mental health issues. So I absorbed it as a kid. Irish Catholic, so everybody was an alcoholic. And so I kind of...
You're going to get in trouble, Sean.
I was going to say same.
You're drunk now is what you told me right before we started. So for me, it's almost therapeutic to play something like this, and kind of I get something out of it, too. I get to get out all those stuff that I had observed when I was a kid. So, and Oscar, you know, it was once said by, I forget who, somebody famous, but they said if he did not exist, he could not be imagined. Because he was such an incredible character. And it's such an exciting thing for me, now being such a massive fan of his, to introduce him to people, and also for those who do remember him, remind him who he was.
I know it's called acting, Sean, but for so many people, you are known as Jack from Will and Grace, Jazz Hands.
Yeah.
I mean, this is such a big departure. Did you find people believe that you could pull off this character? Because as Tony said, you were so good up there on stage.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. For me, it's a swing for the fences, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, you know, it could be like what's he doing with the voice and the thing and the shaking and the, right? So, but I'm at an age and a time in my life where if you're going to go for it, you got to go for it. We're here for 5 minutes, all of us, you know. And
go
so,
big or go home.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what struck me as the piano playing? I didn't know that you, because clearly I'm sitting here. That, is he really playing the piano?
Yeah.
I was really wondering about that.
Yeah.
I was
studied since I was 5 years old. And
do you hear if the audience wonders that too?
Yeah. Like the first five rows, you go every single night.
Every night?
In the show, I start playing the Rhapsody in Blue. And the first five rows is like,
you can hear that?
Look at his hands. Yeah, I can hear.
Look at his
By hands. The way, everybody who comes to any Broadway show,
yes,
we can hear you.
And see you.
And see you. It's like, it's so funny that people think they're all, and they're like, there's a wall. It's like, yeah. No, that's why they call it the fourth wall.
Yeah, so they doubt it, but you're classically trained.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I studied for 15, 20 years.
Yeah. Actually, Nate, we have a video of you icing your hands after some of these performances, because this is grueling stuff.
Yeah, I so...
Before and after, right?
Yeah, before and after. I ice before my hands.
What does that do for you, the icing?
It reduces the inflammation. Mm-hmm. And because I don't think you're supposed to play the Rhapsody in Blue 7 times a week for 5 months.
Yeah.
So it takes a toll on my forearms and my hands. And so even doing this, because Gershwin, for the music nerds out there, he had such big hands. So he'd write in tenths, octaves are just one, you know what an octave is.
Yeah.
So stretch it two more notes and you're using your whole. So I'm constantly like this the whole time. So that's,
This character is very layered, as he was in real life. And it addresses so many things, mental health, addiction, who he was. Yeah. How does playing this role help you address your own mental health?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of touched on that with Gail is by the way, since the pandemic, it seems like everybody struggles with anxiety and depression.
Oh, yeah.
So I certainly fell victim to that as well, as always having anxiety. I have massive anxiety. So I understand that part of Oscar. Hmm. So incorporating his shaking and his twitches as he got older, which was a reaction to the abuse of medication, prescription pills. He used to make one joke saying, I take prescription pills for the side effects, is one of his, one of his one-liners. Yeah. He had a billion of them.
Yeah.
But I relate to that. I relate to anxiety. And this definitely, the second I walk out on stage, I get to incorporate my own anxiety into the part.
Yeah. Are you going to go to the Tony Awards? There's a big strike going on.
I don't know if you heard, they got a waiver.
Yeah,
from
we
the
did
writers
a story
guild.
On it. So yeah. I was glad about that because this is huge for the Tony business because for many people, this is how they get to see the play.
Yeah, and so much of Broadway relies on the Tony Awards to advertise to America what's going on over here.
Yeah.
So I think it's dare I say, a little different, not entirely, but a little different because the core business of Broadway and a lot of New York City.
Yeah.
The economy of New York City depends on this. So it's kind enough of the WGA to give the waiver, I think.
But
and everybody
that said, you're
show
supporting
up.
The writers because you know what that means,
absolutely, absolutely supporting
and
the
Sean,
writers.
When Tony said congratulations on the Tony, he was speaking it into existence.
Yeah, well it's all rigged. It's all rigged. I know people.
Rigged.
No, I'm just kidding. We do wish you luck. It's a great performance. It's a great play. If you like Broadway, you're going to love this. If you like old school TV, you're also going to find a lot here.
And if you like Sean Hayes.
And if you like Sean Hayes, yes. Although he doesn't look like himself. He's transformed. Sean, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
Good Night Oscar, currently playing at the Belasco Theater on Broadway. And be sure to watch the 76th Annual Tony Awards June 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus. And we do thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow in your feed and Monday through Friday on your local CBS stations starting at 7 a.m.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm excited to announce season 4 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I've got a whole new bunch of stories to share with you about the most fascinating people and things who are no longer with us. From famous figures who died on the very same day to the things I wish would die, like buffets. Listen to Mobituaries with Mo Rocca on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.